passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver. Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to September. September morn. Oh, you didn't know this was a song show? Yes, it is. And I'm a singer. Oh, boom. I think I just heard everybody hang up. I hate it when that happens. Welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show in the first Thursday of September. And as always, on the first Thursday of the month, we bring in Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed, who has a drive time show Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 on WMNH 95.3 in Manchester, New Hampshire, which you can listen to if you're not in the Manchester, New Hampshire area by going to ipmnation.com, and you can listen to it live. Matt takes call-ins, and speaking of call-ins, so do we, which means you can call 202-570-7057. That's 202-570-7057, and you can express an opinion. You can share a story. You can ask a question. Just make sure that it is respectful. That's all I ask, is that you do it respectfully. So this is what this show is always about. And as a quick reminder, next week will be Thoughtful Thursday, where we do stories of inspiration, motivation, and people, and share about people that are doing thoughtful things in the world. And I do that with Lori Powers Otto, somebody that Matt knows. Yes, you and Lori go way back. You have a history. Or as they say on RuPaul's Drag Race, a herstory. Her story instead of his story. Yeah, there you go. So usually on this first Thursday, we discuss politics. I want to check in and see what's been lighting up the Matt Connerton Unleashed airwaves. What's been making your lights turn on, baby, since we last spoke? I have something else in my side pocket, but we're going to see where this conversation starts and how much energy we get going on it. Matt, welcome. How are you today?
Doing well. If you don't mind, Dr. Kevin, I'd like to also mention a new way, that people can enjoy my show. I have a new-ish website. It's been up for a couple of months now, but mattconnerton.com. So if people go there, they can hear my show as well and also contact me and so forth. It's a very simple site, very mobile-friendly, not a lot there, but it is another way that people can get easy access to my program when I'm live weekdays 4 to 6.
Now, can they get access to all the other stuff on IPM Nation or just your show?
Just my show. So if they want access to the rest of IPM Nation, they should go to ipmnation.com.
Where you will find the Dr. Kevin and Friends internet TV channel, and you will find, you've got so much footage, audio, video, whatever of me on that, I should have a statue in South Carolina with a big hat on me and waving a flag with stars and a cross on it. Anyway,
I don't know if a statue is something you really want these days. Someone might find a reason to knock it down.
People always find reasons to knock my stature down, but I am of a hot statue.
Yeah.
Anyway, so moving right along. So congratulations. I'll have to check out the new website when I have 2 minutes that I can rub together, which I think I've scheduled for fall of 2021 somewhere.
Oh, good.
Hey, I had to put it somewhere.
Yes.
So what have been the hot topics? Because your show is mostly politics. I mean, you do other things. You do satire. You do parody. you have stand-up comics on who should be sitting down. By the way, speaking of stand-up comics who should shut down, tell John I said hi, that being John Hopwood.
yes, of course.
What's been the skinny? Tell me what's been popping on your show.
Well, you know, I mean, there's really three big issues that dominate everything and dominate my show as well. COVID, obviously, the election, and the continuing racial issues and unrest in this country. We've been paying particular attention to that last one lately because we're doing a thing on Mondays now where we're trying to do this every Monday. It was really Jenny's idea. 2 weeks ago, we did, we had, you know, my show is sponsored by the Hop Knot. I'll throw in a plug for them. They're in the Brady Sullivan Plaza at 1000 Elm Street here in Manchester. And they're the official sponsor of my show. And they are Black Americans, the family that owns it. And Kenny and Trudy from the Hop Knot joined me on my show a couple of weeks ago for the full 2 hours to have a discussion about race and racial issues. And Jenny came up with the idea. I don't know if you've seen this on YouTube. Emmanuel Acho has a series. I'm never sure if I'm saying his last name correctly, but he has a series on YouTube called Uncomfortable Conversations with a Black Man. And it's really good. And Jenny had been watching those and brought that to my attention. And she said, we should do our own sort of variation of this. So for the first Monday, we brought on Kenny and Trudy from the Hop Knot. This past Monday, we were supposed to have a gentleman from another local business here, the Bookery, a great bookstore, but he had a family emergency. So instead, he's coming on this coming Monday, even though it's Labor Day, my show will still be live. And so it's going to be Ben from the Bookery along with Kenny and Trudy from the Hop Knot. And we're going to continue the discussion about race. And like I said, we're trying to do this every Monday, make it a weekly thing, because obviously this is an issue that's not going away anytime soon. I support Black Lives Matter and all that. So, you know, I consider myself an ally in that. But so that's something that we're really spending a lot of time on my show. And it's something that Jenny and I are both very passionate about. So of the big three, that's kind of how I think of it. The big three issues, COVID, the election, and race. We're spending, I think, the most time on race lately on my program.
So illness, disease, and perversion is what your show is covering these days.
Yes, there you go.
We have the elections, which is perversion. We have illness, which is COVID, and we have disease, which is racism. So yeah, illness,
yeah.
Perversion,
yeah.
And disease. Yeah,
yeah.
There,
yeah.
We go.
Yeah.
So if we did disease, illness, and perversion, we could say that you're, you know, a dip something. I'm not going to fill in the rest of it, but you know,
Yeah, we don't work blue here, Dr. Kevin. What I understand.
Mm. Mm. Okay. So,
I said that to someone the other day, and Jenny was like, I've never heard that expression. You know, I said, yeah, we don't work blue.
Well, I'm sure you heard that the seven officers in Rochester, New York got suspended in the case of in the case of Daniel Prude. It just amazes me that how many people don't get. I won't even, the minute that somebody does, you know, police life matters, all life matters, does any of those, I just automatically, like, I just unfriend them and block them, and I just send them away because I'm like, you're bragging about your ignorance, and I don't have the energy for it. You're just bragging about your ignorance. I don't have the time to educate you. If you wanted to be educated, you'd make an issue. You would do something. Now, it's very interesting. Not that I might find time on a Monday. I would love to find time on a Monday. I would obviously probably just call in because I sound like you have a studio full of people, and I wouldn't qualify as a valid guest on that day. But I know one of the conversations I would like to have in here, which has been a conversation that I've heard many places, you know, and it's, you know, and it's the conversation that if you're trying to understand better about race, if you're trying to understand better about the experience, that there's a whole school of thought out there that says, you know, people of color are tired of being your teachers. Go figure it out on your own. Go read the books that have been written. Go watch the things that have been taped. And like, you know, really an attitude of, we don't want to be bothered to try to explain to you, which I struggled with. I'm going to be very honest because I'm like, I'm coming going, okay, you know what? I have some perceptions. I don't think that they come from a place of, they don't come from certainly from a place of white supremacy. They could come from a place of white fragility. And I'm sure that they come from some place of a little bit of white entitlement because those of us born white, you know, there were certain things that just were provided for us. And we didn't know that we didn't necessarily know that it was any different. I didn't know what somebody else's experience was that I had no opportunity to cross their path. But I was reprimanded, being told that it was inappropriate for me to go talk to a person of color about trying to understand better the experiences they had. And I was like, okay. Okay. But I'm an ally, but I would like to be a knowledgeable ally. And why am I the bad guy for wanting to know? Well, it's exhausting. They shouldn't have to. Of course, this was being said to me by a white person. But I'm like, I'm like, okay. So I would love to have that take, but oftentimes I have clients right till 6 on Mondays. So I don't know if I'll have time to call in when you're doing the show or not. My schedule is very busy these days.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's good. You've only done one show so far. I will ask this question again in a month, I suspect. But what surprised you most about what came out in the conversation? What can you share with my listeners that could go listen to your show because they're all archived, but right now they're listening to my show, so cough it up. What more surprised you?
You know, I don't think there were a lot of I don't think there were a lot of surprises necessarily, but I think the thing that I was the most confused about was, because I do think this is something that surprises a lot of people, is that a lot of Black Americans really don't like the term African American. And that was something where I was legitimately confused, because we are taught that that is the politically correct term. You know, you can still say Black, but African American is the politically correct term and has been for, it seems like, a couple of decades now. But there also is the reality that clearly not all Black Americans are of African descent. You can be Black and not be not have descendants from Africa. And not only that, but as someone recently pointed out to me, you can be from Africa and be white. You know, there are plenty of white people there. As a matter of fact, Carla Garrick, who is someone I know personally, who is a libertarian Senate candidate, I've interviewed her a few times over the years. She immigrated here from South Africa. She's South African, and she's as white as me. So the term African-American doesn't really work, but Kenny and Trudy told me that, yeah, they don't like that term, but they're not actually offended by it. So they're not of African descent. But if someone refers to them that way as African-American, they don't hold it against them. They don't take offense to it. They understand that that is what we white people have been taught to say, and that the intention is to be respectful and to be correct. And but, you know, we don't know any better, and we need to be educated on that. They prefer, and maybe this is the part that did surprise me a little bit, they would prefer, though, to be referred to as Black Americans, because they're Black and they're American, and that's the best way, that is the optimum way to refer to them, not as African Americans, because it's simply not accurate in so many instances.
Yeah, I mean, what you're saying makes sense to me. And you and I have had so many conversations through the years about politically correct and mm-hmm. how much damage that politically correct can do at times. Because you can be in the reference of what you're saying or how you're saying it, you can say all the politically correct words and be anything but. And vice yeah. versa. You can mash up what you're saying, but if someone knows that you're trying, that you're trying to be respectful and that maybe you don't have the right words, what would, you know, I think they should cut you slack, and a lot of times people do if they see like you're trying to figure it out. And it's interesting because part of things in like the trans community and the LGBTQT community, well, T is for trans, but I'm thinking more of the trans community, but is this whole, what are your pronouns? Like at my church, we have a little button underneath our name tag is, what are our pronouns? What do we go by? He, right. she, they, whatever. So that's the sound that we've miraculously gone through the first segment. That was quick. And we're going to go take a commercial break, and we'll be right back here on the Dr. Kevin Show with Matt Connerton.
Conscious media for conscious minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going Om? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
A social distancing tip.
While the CDC urges you to avoid close contact, like hugging or shaking hands, there are other non-physical ways to say hello. Wave, wink, use sign language, salute, smile, give the peace sign, throw up an air high five, do jazz hands. Remember, stay a minimum of 6 feet or 2 arms length away from others, and stay home if you can. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on OM Times. As always, on the first Thursday of the month, I am here with Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed. You can find Matt Connerton Unleashed on 95.3 MNH, Monday through Friday, 4 to 6, out of Manchester, New Hampshire. Or you can go to mattconnerton.com, and you can click in and listen to the show from there. Or, choices, choices, IPMNation.com.
And that's right.
You can be part of the conversation.
And we should mention, too, of course, my show does go out on Facebook as well. If you go to the Matt Connerton Unleashed Facebook page, please give that a like, everybody. And that's another way you can access the show. And if you do it that way, you can participate in the chat room, which a lot of people do. That's how a lot of interaction with listeners does take place during the show. So that is also an option.
Well, you know, because my podcast that I do now, twice a month, Laughing, Loving, and Alive, that is, we Zoom that on Facebook, because there's three co-hosts. There's Elmer Howard, and then there's Rain Thomas, and myself, and then we always have a guest. Mm-hmm. But we do that as a Facebook Live, and I get more, like, reach-outs than I ever get here on the Dr. Kevin Show. People asking questions or participating, the whole Facebook thing. But I think there's something why the Dr. Kevin Show can't do Facebook Live. I'm not sure. I think we've talked about it before. But I think there's something about the way that this system works that it's not set up to do that. But it is interesting. You can sometimes drag more people in that will chat on Facebook than will actually call on the phone.
Yeah.
And the only advantage to that is on Facebook, though they could have a false profile, you kind of see their name and you can kind of block them, and you can get nutcases that call in and you have no, you don't know they're nutcase till they get started. And then all you can do is hang up the phone on them. And, you know, and that becomes a little, you know, interesting.
Well, when you do a show like I do, and you've witnessed this firsthand, I love the nutcases. Bring them on. Mm-hmm. Love it.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of show that you're running. it depends on the kind of nut, because sometimes you feel like a nut and sometimes you don't.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, some are just obnoxious. I'm very, you know, well, first of all, tell Jenny she's doing a good job. You've done more marketing and promotion for yourself, your website, your Facebook page, and everything. You've done more of that in this one show in the first segment than you've done in all the other shows we put together. So I know that Jenny must be riding your case. So tell Jenny good job.
I will. She's probably listening.
Yeah. Good job, Jenny. So I'm very impressed. Like I said, if I get a chance, I'm going to try to listen to the Monday show. I think that's interesting. Yeah. I think there's a lot of things out there. And, you know, what I was saying about the pronouns before we went to break is, you know, it's, first of all, there is a little bit of arrogant, entitled white supremacy that you feel like you need to say Asian Americans or African Americans or even Native Americans, but nobody thinks you need to say European Americans.
Right.
I mean, like, yeah, that's, really?
It's a good point. It's a good point.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything else seems like it's meant to be somehow slightly divisionary in nature. Perhaps not divisive, much more easily used. Like somehow you are a kind of other American.
Yeah. Although you do hear... I was just going to say, Dr. Kevin, as far as Europeans, you do hear Italian American sometimes for some reason. But anyway, yeah. But no, I think that is an interesting point though that you make. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it depends on each one. There was a time when you were more likely to hear Irish Americans, and then it kind of faded in.
True.
And you know, and sometimes you like hear Polish Americans if you're going to the Polish American Club. I mean, it's people of the same descent that get together and they do, you know, parades, and you do, you know, or you have clubs, or you have organizations that kind of celebrate your heritage. And, you know, and nobody's, and, you know, if it's Italian American or the Polish American Club, your kind of white supremacy kind of thought process doesn't really get upset about that, but they can get very upset about things that feel like any like superiority, if you were to say Asian American or African American, and that somehow they were, oh my God, superior or as good as even. I mean, think about it. Think about the kind of the energy they say with it. So I don't know. I think it's interesting. But the question is should we start to say to people? So, well, first of all, one part of me wants to say this, and the other part of me says this is completely stupid, even as I say it. But I'm okay with stupid. So, you know, should we say if we meet a person of color, how do you like to be referred to? Do you like to be referred to as a Hispanic American, a Black American? Do you want to be called a Mongrel American, which is what a lot of the white people are? The white people, they are Mongrel Americans because they got so much of this and so much of that. And they have a lot of little hidden thises and that's along the way, too, when the DNA tests show up. Should you simply ask people, like we ask people, what pronoun do you like these days? I mean, like, what pronoun do you go by? But it's stupid because what it really is you're a person. You have a name. It may be the name your parents gave you or maybe a name you adopted along the way, but it's the name you like to be called. What do you like to call? What's your name? That's all I really need to know. I mean, even now in casting, you find that they have a lot of fun with casting people that aren't of the whatever the original descent or ethnicity or even gender that the part was originally written for. You know, because sometimes they'll have, you know, they've had Black Americans play Othello. Well, Othello was not Black in Shakespeare's play when it was written, I can guarantee you.
Right, right.
Yeah. You know, sometimes they have the women play men's parts and men play women parts. And I mean, you know, so it's like, it's a, kind of like a toss salad of events. So but what do you think? Should we just simply say to people, if you're referring to them, what do you want to be called? Because I think like American should be sufficient enough, right?
Ideally, yes. I think it would be very cumbersome to have to ask everyone what they want to be called.
Well, go ahead and ask me.
What would you like to be called, Dr. Kevin, aside from Dr. Kevin, obviously?
Witty, beautiful, amusing, striking, intelligent. Should I keep going? I'd like to be called all of those things. I don't care if they're lies.
But see, that is cumbersome. I don't want to have to call you all those things. That's a lot. And then I've got to remember to put American at the end of all of it.
Well, you know, but I'm giving you a smorgasbord. And you can just choose the word you want to call me on any given day. Oh, there's that beautiful American, Dr. Kevin. Oh, there's that witty American, Dr. Kevin. Oh, there's that intelligent American, Dr. Kevin. See, I'm giving you choices. What choices, right?
That's true. Yes, yes.
Yes, I'm giving you lots of choices. Okay. So I'm sure you must have had a few discussions about Mr. Kyle, who decided that somehow is now becoming our president's hero for illegally having a gun at 17 and shooting protesters who are peacefully protesting, actually, as I understand it, unless I missed part of the story. Were they?
Yeah. I think, Trump's campaign strategy clearly is to do whatever he has to appeal to the base. And I think part of appealing to that base is appealing to white backlash. And so, you know, he's going to side with Kyle Rittenhouse and defend him. And he's always going to, you know, I mean, his approach to things became evident very early on when Charlottesville happened, and he made his comment about very good people on both sides. And it's a continuation of that, and that seems to have always been Trump's strategy. He's not interested in trying to be the unifier that he claimed he was going to be. He's only interested in energizing and continuing to shore up his base. He has gambled his reelection on energizing the base and getting them to turn out for him rather than, I mean, there was no effort whatsoever to try to broaden his coalition in any way or to appeal to independents or, you know, even moderate or disaffected Democrats. There's none of that. Absolutely none. It is all just doubling and tripling and quadrupling down on, on appealing to his base. And he does it really, you can't even call them dog whistles. He does it more overtly and brazenly than anyone I've seen in the modern era. And yeah, he'll stick up for Kyle Rittenhouse, and he'll never side with the protesters or show them any empathy whatsoever. It's not a surprise at this point.
So, I do like to give, when he does have a good idea, and he, you know, every now and then I see a list of some of the good things he's done in his presidency, and I look at some of it and I go, that actually was a good thing. I don't know if he was sleeping that day, if somebody slipped it under and he signed it without looking. It hasn't been like every pen stroke has been for something horrible. But
right,
obviously, because he does all of his buffoonery, and they go, well, why don't we hear about that? Well, because you're too busy hearing about all of his tweets and all of his, like, crackpot crazy stuff that,
right,
you know, he might get some kudos every now and then if he'd keep his damn mouth shut long enough from saying something stupid or offensive, that might give him a kudo every now and then. But, of course, shutting down the media as fake news didn't make him any friends, except from Fox.
Right, of course.
Yeah. So, but I want to celebrate one of his latest ideas that I think is really good, and I am encouraging this to the max. I absolutely think that every Trump voter should mail in an absentee ballot and then go vote at the voting booth.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And then I think that each and every one of them should be able to, we should have an exchange program where some of the overly charged ridiculously in jail Black Americans get out to make room for all the felons that will be put in jail when they do it.
This sounds like a variation on the idea of draining the swamp in a way.
Yeah, I think he could go in and do a rally of prisons across the country, having a suit matching his hair, telling them that he was set up, and how was he supposed to know it was illegal? Somebody right, made that up. Those Democrats passed that law when I wasn't looking. You should have been able to do it. I think it's perfect, you know? So I'm a big fan. If you want to go do an absentee ballot for Trump and then go and vote for Trump in person, I think that that's what you should do. And, you know, and we can keep prisons at full capacity. We can let out all of the railroaded Black Americans, and we can give their sites, their cells over to the Kool-Aid people.
Right.
Hey, right. You know, just an idea.
And ironically enough, you know, they'll still love Trump even when they're in prison. He is their savior.
Yes, yes. They'll try to make it an apostle moment, I'm sure. Saint Trump. So anyways, I hear sometimes that Trump is starting to gain a little of his popularity back. Is that fake news, do you think? Or do you think that he still has a really good fighting chance to win this election, even through all of this bullshit?
I still think it's going to be Biden, but I know that there's some polling data that shows the gap between them shrinking a little bit. So Biden's lead appears to be shrinking a little bit, but I think that that's going to happen. That will fluctuate, but I think that Biden will still remain comfortably ahead, and I still think he'll win. And I'm encouraged by the fact that I've also seen some data showing that Trump's approval rating on his handling of COVID has actually gone down. It's now in the 30s. I think I saw a poll the other day that showed 38% of the country approves of Trump's handling of COVID. So that's a stunningly low number, given all the partisanship and, you know, all the Republicans you would expect to say they approve no matter what. So that's encouraging. So on one hand, the gap is closing a little bit between Trump and Biden in the polls, which is scary but not alarming, really. I don't think it'll matter. But as long as Trump's approval rating on COVID continues to remain very low, you know, unless there's a miracle cure or a miracle vaccine really quickly. I still think he's on track to lose.
Well, you know, there the FDA we'll be right back here for the last segment of the Dr. Kevin Show.
The Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
911, what is your emergency?
My kid shot himself.
All right, where's the wounds?
911, what's your emergency?
Please help. My son shot his brother.
911, what is your emergency?
Okay.
911, please state your emergency.
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns.
It wasn't locked.
Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show. Remember, we are a live call-in show, so you could be calling in right now. All you got to do is dial 202-570-7057. Again, that's 202-570-7057. And you can be part of this conversation with Matt Comerton and myself. So, Matt. My question for you is, with the way things are going in this moment, are we going to see a Democratic House and Senate or not?
I hope so, and I'm hopeful that we do. And I'm an independent, but you know, I'm a left-leaning independent, and the Trump administration has shoved me forever leftward. Not forever, but ever leftward. But you know, I want to see a massive blue wave because I want to see Trump punished, and I want to see the Republicans punished for giving us Trump and for enabling and coddling and rationalizing everything that he does. And you know, I want to see them punished. So I hope so. I think we're going to see a big blue wave, and I hope that I'm right. I hope that it is a tidal wave across the country. I really do. I want to see these people punished.
So we get the blue wave. We get the blue president. Do you think Trump or any of his cabinet are going to face charges? Do you think that is more room creating or more healing to say you can't go that far over the line and not pay for it? You don't get away with it. You don't just lose the office. You're held accountable.
Well, I don't particularly expect anyone in his cabinet, you know, to necessarily face charges, but people in Trump's orbit do seem to end up in a lot of legal trouble, and some have gone to prison. I don't think anyone's going to face any consequences for what they've done during the administration. But I do feel that as soon as Trump is no longer president, he is going to be indicted by the state attorney general's office of the state of New York. You know, they've been investigating him for a long time. Some things have leaked out here and there over the years. And I think they're just waiting until he's not president anymore to move in. And I think he may end up in prison in the not so distant future. I really do. And possibly other members of his family as well. I think most of the rest of the administration will emerge unscathed. But I think Trump is in real trouble. And I've always said winning the presidency was the worst possible thing that could have happened to him. And I don't believe he expected to win. I don't think he meant to win. I don't think he wanted to win. But then once he won, it's like now he's got to do whatever he can to stay president because of what's waiting for him. What he must know is waiting for him as soon as he's not president anymore. And it's going to be rough. And I can't wait to see it.
It's so interesting because when you and I first started going, you know, like met each other and we'd be on each other's radio shows or TV shows or whatever, I always considered myself an independent as well. Mm-hmm. I was always like, I want to know who do I think is gonna, you know, like do the job. And I'm not a vote a straight party ticket or any of that stuff. I was always much more about, you know, and have been a big advocate for years that we need at least three, if not five functioning parties, because it makes this kind of gridlock even harder to happen. And, you know, let them spin off a Tea Party. Let them spin off a really ultra progressive. Let them say, you know, let's keep the moderate Republicans and the moderate Democrats. And you can even, you know, roll off the, you know, the racist Trump former Republicans. We'll come up with a name for them. Rumps. So, you know. But, you know, and let there have to be more representation of all of America, and all of America will never fit into two pots.
Right.
But, you know, but I definitely started leaning more into democracy, into the Democratic side. Not Obama. I wasn't really limited. I mean, I like Hillary Clinton. I was a Hillary Clinton fan. I've always been a little leery of Bernie Sanders, but I would have supported anybody against Trump.
Sure.
But yeah. But you've stayed moderate longer than I did. When I started really getting more, you were like, well, we need to give the guy time. There's two sides of the story. So it's interesting to hear you this far. I want to see him punished.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting to see that progression. Welcome to the rest of humanity, Matt Connerton. No. So, you know that the Trump administration is trying to bypass all the rules and get a vaccine, quote unquote, out by November 1st, that they've notified states that they're going to have something November 1st, even though it won't be finished clinical trials, even though we won't know if it's safe, that he has to have a vaccine. Because, of course, if he has a vaccine, it will take a couple of months to figure out, were they lucky enough that they pulled it out of the fire and it actually does work without the full set of trials? Or are there, you know, thousands of people dead because they didn't do the proper job? And of course, people willing to take the vaccine that's being rushed out November 1st is a lower than numbers of people who said that, you know, they would be willing to take a vaccine as long as it had gone through everything. So this is obviously a play on the part of the Trump administration.
Oh, sure.
They get, yeah, they get something out November 1st. What do you think? Do you think it could shift the numbers? Or do you think that people are just going to, that the people who might shift, we're not talking about the rabid Kool-Aid drunk.
Yeah.
Are they just going to recognize this? And if anything, make him more, even more anti-Trump because he's risking people's lives by doing this. How do you think this is going to go down? Because you know, that's how the Dems, if there's any intelligence left in the Dems at all, that's how they're going to play it. He's risking your life, rushing something to the marketplace in hopes of keeping the presidency. That's all he's doing. Don't be his guinea pig. I mean, this needs.
Yeah, I don't think it'll shift anyone who's not in the Trump column back into the Trump column, because I think people will see through it. I really do. I think people are going to see through it. It's too obvious, you know. I mean, you've got all the people who are going to vote for him no matter what, but no, I don't think it's going to help him. I don't think it's going to help him. It's a Hail Mary, you know, to try to get something out by November 1st, but it's not going to help him. I sure hope not.
Okay.
I hope people don't fall for that. Ugh.
Labor Day weekend. People are tired of the restrictions. They say our numbers are down, but it depends on how you look at them,
mm-hmm.
whether how really down they are, because we're still oftentimes racking 1,000 plus deaths a day up.
Oh, yeah.
And there's been some attempts to play with the numbers. They keep on getting caught, and they went back from, they went back to where they belong to be reported. But Labor Day, are we going to see a surgy October? What do you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's, I'm very worried, you know, and this came up on my show today, too, about, you know, not only are we likely to see surges with people going back to school and all of that, but also, too, I don't know how we're going to navigate this part. Cold and flu season is going to be kicking in. So, you know, if you have symptoms that could be COVID, you're supposed to stay home and quarantine yourself and try to get a test if you can get a test, all of this. But when there's just regular colds and flus going around in addition to COVID, I don't know what people are going to do. This is going to get very, very challenging very quickly. You know, so in the middle of cold, well, not in the middle of, but at the beginning of cold and flu season, like when that first cold virus is going around and people are sniffling and sneezing, or is everybody supposed to assume that it's COVID? And how is this going to work? I mean, when this thing really started to hit us in March, at least it was kind of at the, you know, when cold and flu season is starting to wind down as we were going into spring. Now we're heading headlong into it. I don't know what to think, what to expect, other than nothing good. This is going to be a nightmare. I hate to be so cynical and pessimistic, but this is going to be a damn nightmare.
This is not the time to relax your vigilance. I just
That ship has sailed. America's already relaxed. What vigilance? Hey, I mean, look, I mean, I'm on Elm Street right now because I'm still at the station, and I'm looking down on Elm Street, and there's nobody wearing masks. There's no social distancing going on. There's already no vigilance. America's already said, yeah, we're just kind of done with the whole thing. Screw it. You know what I mean? It's already... Of course we can't get it under control. We live in a country full of selfish, narcissistic, anti-science, tinfoil hat-wearing conspiracy theorists. No wonder we're doing so poorly with it. There is no vigilance. It's already gone. America's already given up. We're not up for this fight. The vaccine's our only hope.
Well, and I don't know. I'm gonna reserve my comments on that for right now. So, yeah. Matt, I know we're going to be out of time in a minute, so here's where I'm going to put you on the spot.
Sure.
How familiar are you with the American Anti-Corruption Act?
I'm not. It's not something I'm terribly familiar with, other than, you know, being aware of it.
Okay. So, are you available the last Thursday of this month to come back on my show?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Okay. So I want to talk about the American Anti-Corruption Act. I have put a video on the Dr. Kevin, on the Dr. Kevin Show Facebook page. I can send you the video that kind of gives you the highlights of the moving components and why it could work. I want to do it on the last Thursday so that if we don't go through all of the moving pieces, we can spend some of the first Thursday to do that. I want to try to get this information out there with my bullhorn as best I can before the election of what are the moving pieces that could help us take back the country? Because that's what it's about.
Yeah.
And I was very impressed with the video I saw. I've put it out a few times and tried to get people to look at it and kind of recognize we have more power than you think. And I thought that this would be a wonderful conversation, and that something that not only can hopefully some of my listeners light a fire under them of what they could do to make change if they're tired of the situation we find ourselves in. And that I will use, depending on how it goes, to promote it out into other places that hopefully people might listen to it. People might watch the video, but the only way we're going to change is to educate.
Right, right. No, that sounds great to me. Absolutely.
Okay, I will be seeing you, and you guys can be listening to us the last Thursday of the month, next Thursday. Thoughtful Thursday with Lori Powers Auto. Thoughtful, inspirational, motivational people in the world. Stories, come, join, listen, share. Have a good week. Namaste.
Bye, everybody.